Parshas Bahar. Okay, children, lunch is going to be a little bit late today because Mr. Alexei just informed me that he has to go pick up the lunch from the other building. As a matter of fact, he's getting into his truck right now.
My truck? Yes, my truck. One has to have a lot of derech eretz for my truck. As it says, stand up for your elders. And my truck is at least 50 years older than anyone I know. Okay, let me just get into my truck over here. I'm trying to close the door. The door doesn't close. What's with this door? Let me try again. It doesn't close. What's in the way? Oh, my foot. All right, let me put my foot into the truck. Let me try again. The door doesn't close. This is ridiculous. I can't drive without the door closing. Hold it. I know what to do. Let me get out from the outside and slam it from the outside. 1, 2, 3. Ah! Now it closed. Gewaldig. Oh, but I'm on the outside. Oh, no problem. I'll just open it. It's locked. I locked it. Where are my keys? Hi, Rabbi Nishalayim. Where are my keys? What is that you're supposed to say again when you lose something? I forgot already what you're supposed to say when you lose something. Reb something. Baruch Hashem. It worked already. I found my keys. There they are. Hanging from the ignition. In the ignition. On the inside of the truck. But I'm on the outside of the truck. Oy vey. Wait a second. No problem. I have a spare pair of keys. That's right. Where did I put them? Oh, in the glove compartment. Oy! How foolish of me. I put my spare keys into the glove compartment. I totally forgot the glove compartment gets jammed and I can't open it all the time. Besides the fact that it's on the inside of the truck. Wait a second. There was another key which I hid someplace in case of this kind of an emergency, and I put it in a good place on the outside of the truck. I remember right now. Oh, I know where I put it. I put it on top of the tire. I just put it there a couple of weeks ago. Let me see if it's still there. It's not here. How could that be? I put it right here on top of the tire before I drove home last week from Flatbush. Oy, there's such potholes on these streets in New York. You put your key once on top of the tire, a week later it's not there. Oy, gewaltig geschriggen. What am I going to do now? Wait a second. It's a good thing it's a pickup truck. Yes. The reason I have a pickup truck is because when I went to the store to buy a truck, they asked me what I needed for. I told them to pick up lunch. They said a pickup truck is what I need. Okay, so I have here my toolbox. Then I'll take out some of the tools I have over here, and I'll open the door. What's the problem? I know exactly how to open it. I have all the tools. Let me see what I have over here in my toolbox. Where's the key to the toolbox? Oh, it's not locked. Oh, Baruch Hashem. Okay, let me see. A Shep Leffel. Yeah, I could use this. A potato peeler. What else? A cork opener. An extra pair of suspenders. Alright, let me see if I could do with these tools. Okay, let me try the cork opener. I'll just put it in over here between the window and the door and turn it. Oh, I think the button is opening. I'm screwing the cork through the door, and the button is coming up just like the cork. 1, 2, 3. It worked. The same thing happens to me when I try to use a cork opener on a bottle all the time. Gewaldig. Okay. I don't know why this always happens to me. Oi, gewaltig geschriggen. Oh, the Rebbe is calling me from the window. Yeah!
Mr. Alexei, did you come yet with lunch?
A shtickle complication. But I'm coming. Hi, Rabbi Nishalaylam.
What's the matter? What happened?
Oh, it's a long story. But I locked myself out of my truck.
Why don't you have a spare pair of keys?
I have 2 spare pairs of keys. It happens to me all the time. I had 3 keys. One was left in the ignition, one in the glove compartment, and one I put on top of the tire.
Kinderloch, please stop laughing. Mr. Alexei, why don't you come up for a minute and rest up? Don't worry, we'll manage to get lunch over here. I want you to hear this story because we're learning Parshas Bahar about Shemitah, and I think it is an answer to your question. Alexei, why don't you repeat your question?
I said, I made 3 keys. That was supposed to guarantee I would never get locked out of my truck again. And then it goes and it happens again. How come it happened again?
I think the answer is because you made 3 keys.
Huh?
You see, Mr. Alexei, we're learning Parshas Behar about Shemitah. I want you to hear what I'm going to say now to the children. There's a settlement in Eretz Yisrael called Kaimimias. Many years ago, the Rabbanim went over to one of the people and they asked him to join the many, many farmers who are literally being Meiser Nefesh themselves during Shemitah not to plant. What an expression of Amunah that Klal Yisrael has.
I don't know what to do. I mean, I want to listen to all of these halachos, but for me not to plant my field, I'm scared I'll be devastated. I'll be ruined.
Can I ask you a question?
Yes, Rabbi.
Do you have any guarantee on any given year that your crop will be successful?
No, there were plenty of years that I had major trouble.
So we always have to come on to the Rabbeinu Shalom, don't we? Whether it's Shemitah or not.
Correct.
Shemitah is our way of showing, Rabbeinu Shalom, we know we're in your hands. I'm doing nothing.
Yes. The Or HaChaim HaKadosh says, V'shofsa ha'aretz Shabbos Lashem. Shemitah is like Shabbos. By guarding the halachis of Shabbos, you bring a blessing into your work for the next 6 days. So it is true for Shemitah. By not working on your field on Shemitah, that brings a bracha into your field for the next 6 years.
Listen to the halachis of Shemitah in the schus of your amunah. You will see, by putting all of your trust into Hashem, you will find a bracha, you will find a closeness to the Rabbeinu Shalom that will reward you for the rest of your life.
Very well. I'm willing to try, but I'm worried about one thing. I have to be able to get the seeds. Let me go over here to the local community council that is in charge of agriculture. They are the ones who give out the seeds to the farmers. They allot each farmer a certain amount of seeds. I'll prepare the seeds for after Shemitah. Hello?
Yes, can we help you?
I would like to have some seeds for wheat, please.
You know, there's a shortage this year. You are going to plant them right away, aren't you?
Not really. You see, I hold the laws of Shemitah.
Oh, ho, ho. Then we're not going to give you any seeds. I'm sorry.
Why can't you just give me the seeds for after Shemitah?
If you want to waste away your field for a year, that's your business. These seeds are too precious. We'll give them to others who will plant it.
Will you give me some barley seed at least? Will you give me...
Listen here, mister. Slicha, Adoni. You'll have to come back after Shemitah. Whatever's left, we'll give you.
But what if nothing is left?
Then you'll get nothing. Like I said, whatever's left, we'll give you.
This is a tremendous nesayin for me. What if nothing will be left after Shemitah?
Like you said, this is part of your nesayin. Don't worry, the Rabbeinu Shalom will help.
My dear children, our friend had a wonderful Shemitah. He didn't work. He sat in the Beis HaMedrash. And he learned things that he never knew all of his life. He felt such a closeness to the Rabbeinu Shalom. His Shabbos at home began to change. His children began to attend yeshiva. And finally the day came after the Shemitah year. Right away, he ran to the government office that was in charge of giving out the seeds.
It's after the Shemitah. What do you have for me?
What we have for you? What do you want?
Wheat?
Nothing left.
Barley?
Nothing left.
Pumpkin seeds?
Nothing left.
Sunflower seeds?
Nothing.
Broccoli, tomato, cucumbers?
Hey, this is not a vegetable store. There's no seeds. We told you. I don't know what you want. I warned you beforehand. Go with your laws of Shemitah. Now you see what you're left with? Nothing.
Then if the Rabbeinu Shalom wants me to be left with nothing, I'm very happy.
You look very happy.
What are in those sacks over there?
No sacks? Oh, let me check. oregano. Oregano, it's a kind of spice.
Can I take those seeds?
Hey, mister, what's with you? You're going to plant fields and fields of oregano? Oregano's a little spice, you know. You put a little bit on the pizza bread, a little bit on falafel. You need like a whole restaurant needs like a little bottle. You're going to plant fields and fields of it? You want to take it? Take it. It's all yours. The reason that it's here is because no one else wanted it. Take it, take it. You can take it for free. We'll pay you to take it. Who needs it? Sweet.
My dear children, the people in charge of Shemitah went to ask the great Gedolim, and the answer they got was clear. If this is the Hashkocha, you are Meiser Nefesh yourself for Shemitah, and this is what is left, go and plant it.
But what am I going to do with it? I'll be left with tons and tons of seed. I'll be the laughing stock of all the farmers. I guess the same Amuna that I used not to plant should tell me to plant now.
That's right.
Okay.
So, what you got over there?
I'm planting oregano. How's your farm doing?
My farm's doing okay. Planting oregano? What are you planting so much oregano for? Why, if every single mother in all of Eretz Yisrael made vegetable soup with oregano and falafel bread with oregano for the next 10 years straight, you'll never use up all that much.
Ograda?
Yes, Mr. Alexei.
I used to make oregano pies and oregano cakes. It was full of oregano. I could have used it.
But you weren't there then, Mr. Alexei.
Oh, right.
I must do what my Rabbonim told me to do.
You're a fool! All the farmers are laughing at you. What are you going to do with tons of oregano?
I didn't stop when they laughed at me for not planting a Shemitah, and I'm not going to stop now.
Well, Kindler, do you know what happened at the end?
All of Eretz Yisrael ate oregano pies for the next...
No, Mr. Alexei, please wait. At the end, he was left with tons and tons of oregano, and he really didn't know what he was going to do with it, until one day, he was called down to the government office, that same office that gave out the seeds.
Don't tell me you called me to laugh at me now.
No, we're not laughing at you. There's someone here who wants to speak to you.
Somebody wants to speak to me? Who?
This man, his name is Viktor Valshlinsko. He is the ambassador of Uzbekistan.
Of who? Well, why does he want to see me? There must be some mistake. Why did you call me to this office?
Ambassador Valshlinsko. Tell this man what your problem is.
Thank you very much for coming to this office.
How can I help you? I don't know anything about Uzbekistan. I'm just a farmer.
I come from Uzbekistan. Over there, we use a lot of oregano. This year, there was a terrible problem with the crop. All of the oregano has been wiped out. I am desperate for my people to buy as much oregano as possible. How much can you give me? I have searched all over. No one has enough. How much can you give me?
How much I can give you? I can give you enough for all of Azerbaijan, and Kazakhstan, and Uzbekistan, and then Afghanistan, Kurdistan.
That is all?
You want more? I can give you enough for all of Uruguay, for Paraguay.
Did he have enough for Achenvay?
Mr. Alexei, please.
I will take whatever you have. But how much can you sell it to me for?
How much I can sell it to you for? Let's see. If it would have been wheat, I guess I could have made like maybe 40,000. I think I'll give you...
I am willing to offer 100,000.
What?
All right, 150,000.
Huh?
All right, 200,000, my final offer.
But.
All right, you drive a hard bargain. $250,000, 250,000. But that is it. Please do not ask me for more. We will go broke.
He shouldn't have stopped there. He should have said, yeah, paka, musma. He would have made a million. I think I'll plant some oregano myself. You think I could plant some in the back of my pickup truck?
Mr. Alexei, you are missing the point. Do you know what happened to this yid afterwards? He became so rich, he no longer had to be a farmer. He was able to retire for the rest of his life.
But what does all this have to do with my keys?
I'll tell you. I think to have one set of keys is irresponsible.
That's why I had two.
Two is responsible.
But I had three to make sure I will never get locked out.
That's your problem.
That's my problem?
A yid has to know there's no such a thing as I will make sure it'll never happen to me, or I will make sure I will always have it. A yid has to know every moment of his life, whether things are going your way or it looks like things are not going your way. My life is in the hands of the Rabbeinu Shalom. When you have two sets of keys, that means, okay, I'm trying to do my best, but I know I have to come on to the Rabbeinu Shalom. Mr. Alexei, when you say I make three sets of keys and I'll never get locked out, then the Rabbeinu Shalom locks you out. You see, Kinderlach, Shemitah is to remind us that even during the 6 years that we do plant, what we gain is only through your bracha, Rabbeinu Shalom. We stop the seventh year so we don't make the mistake that Mr. Alexei made.